You are not an ordinary person. We are the outshining of God's glory. Don't let any circumstance have enough power to bother you. The Father has nowhere to stay than inside you and cannot express himself unless through your body. So your body becomes his body. That is why the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Shout it. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a world shaker. I live by the word. I'm born by the word. We are here to produce heaven on this earth. I produce heaven on earth. Sadiva Kasi. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. That's why I say, don't give up. Hey. Moko se ki para buka du se tiba. Zabu. Rebege de bezia. Bege. Yakusa ti paros ki para katara. Ah, could I tell you what I do?
You are invited to World Changers Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
Today we are talking about our inheritance in Christ. We've been talking about Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. For some weeks now, and today we are talking about our inheritance in Christ. Look at someone, tell the person, our inheritance in Christ. Tell another person, our inheritance in Christ, or our provisions in Christ. Oh, shout it, say, our provisions in Christ. Say, I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I have provisions in Christ Jesus. Shout a big hallelujah. The first question is, what is an inheritance? Who helped me with that? What is an inheritance? Someone will answer, what is an inheritance? Another person will answer, what is a provision? Who can help us quickly because of our time? Now, what is an inheritance? Who will endeavor to speak? Who wants to talk? What is an inheritance?
When somebody dies, they leave you an inheritance. What belongs to them that they are bequeathing to you?
Come on. Yeah. Okay. Who would like to try again? That's powerful. Who would say something else? What about provisions? Provisions. Let me say provisions. Our provisions in someone, our provisions in Christ. Provisions. Number one. My inheritance. Mr. Niaku said that when someone dies, he leaves an inheritance to another person, or what belongs to him, another person. Okay.
I think provisions are things that have been made available to someone.
Provisions are things that have been made available to someone. Others are powerful. Can we give it up to them? Praise God. Praise God. We have an inheritance in Christ. We have provisions in Christ. Praise God. Are you all here? If you are here, shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you see, someone, a man of God said something. He said, imagine what you would have done if you wouldn't say that, if only I had this thing. Imagine what you would have done if you wouldn't say that, if only I had this thing, or if only I have this money. Imagine what you would have done, or the kind of things that you would have done by this time. If you wouldn't only say that, oh, if only I had this. Praise God. Praise God. So like they said, an inheritance is what someone has left behind, his own possessions or properties that he has left behind for another person. Praise God. And provision is what has been made available to somebody. See, I want you to say this. Say, poverty mentality is satanic slavery. Say it again. Say, poverty mentality is satanic slavery. Say the third time. Say, poverty mentality is satanic slavery. You see, imagine what would have, what you will be doing by this time, or the kind of things you'll be doing, if only you wouldn't say, oh, if only I had enough of this, or if only I had enough of money, or if only I had enough of these things. Praise God. How many of us don't want us to be in that position where we are? We wanted something, or we wanted something more than what we have. How many of us want to be in that position? That you want to be in a position where you wouldn't say, if only I had this thing. Well, whatever you have, you can have it. Or whatever you want, you can have it. How many of you want to be in that position? Shout a big hallelujah. Okay. So you see, what I mean by poverty mentality, satanic slavery, is that what I'm going to share with you is very important. It's not much of so much insight. Praise God. But I'm just trying to tune your mind to something different. Is that, you see, the devil has made many Christians to think that when you are born again, it's enough for, it's just enough. Once you are born again and you go to church, it's enough for you. So, just stay in church every Sunday and then wait to die to go to heaven. Praise God. And because of that, there is this misunderstandings in the body of Christ as to whether a Christian must prosper or whether a Christian must not prosper. Praise God. So some people say, oh, you don't have to prosper. Some people say you have to prosper. People say, oh, all these prosperity preachers and all kinds. Have you heard something like that? And people are saying somebody is a prosperity preacher. Yeah. Why? Because the devil has made the church to think poor. And the devil has made the church to think poverty is enough. Praise God. And the devil has also made many Christians to also think that they are poor because of what they have or what they don't have. Praise God. So the devil has made many Christians to think that because you don't have a new shirt, or because you don't have this particular item, or because you don't have this thing, you are poor. You are broke. So he keeps suggesting into the minds of many Christians that, you see, you don't have this, you don't have that. It means that you are poor. See, what he's doing is that he's gradually getting your mind to be engaged with what he's saying. But see, what the devil is saying is not for us. It is what God says that is for us. That our thoughts are supposed to be consistent with what God says. So that in the mind of God, or in the word of God, when a person is born again, he is no longer poor. Are you listening? Yeah. So, what the enemy wants you to think, or how he wants you to think, is that he wants you to begin to think that, no, you are broke or you are poor because you lack this particular thing. Praise God. What I'm sharing with you is very important. So that he doesn't get your mind on what he's saying. Telling that, oh, because you don't have money to do this, 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 you are poor. No, that's not scriptural. That is just sensual. That is not scriptural. That is what? Sensual. Praise God. Now, it's very important that we understand the inheritance that we have in Christ. And many Christians don't know, or many Christians never live their life unto the inheritance that they have in Christ. Because many Christians don't know that they have any inheritance in Christ. So most of them walk through going to church all the time without any mentality or consciousness of any inheritance in Christ. Are you listening? Are you listening? So most of them think, oh, let's just walk through life, chase the things we want to chase. If we get them, fine. If we don't get them, we've done our part. Praise God. So many Christians live their lives without any consciousness of any inheritance. And because most of them do not know that they have any inheritance in Christ, most of them live and die without assessing the inheritance that they have in Christ. So many Christians live their lives, and they die, leave this world without accessing any inheritance or any of the inheritance that they have in Christ. Because most Christians don't know. They've not been taught that there is any inheritance in Christ. Praise God. And many also don't know, because many don't know, they just think that, oh, once you are born again, you just walk around, go to church every Sunday, join a church, so that maybe when you die, they'll bury you, or so that you can have friends in the church, so that you can show your dresses, what your cars, your whatever to the people in the church. Praise God. And so most of us live our lives that way. There is no consciousness. There is no mentality of any inheritance in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So, you see that when a person begins to walk in life, or a person is born again, he's in church, all that is in his mind is, how do I get this particular salary? Getting a salary is very important. Now listen, very important. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm teaching you this thing because it's very important. Praise God. So that many get a salary, they have a lot of expenditure. By the time you get your salary, you have a lot of expenditure. By the time you pay this and pay that and pay this and pay that, the money is gone. Are you listening? You see, you should understand that in Christianity, we are different kind of beings. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are not, that's why I always say, you are not an ordinary person. See, the way God sees you, or the way you are in the sight of God, is very important. It is not the way you are in the sight of any man, but it's the way you are in the sight of God. How does God see you? And the way God sees you is what He has described in the Word of God. That is why He says that we are in Christ Jesus, because that's how He sees us. Praise God. Now, many live their life that way. Many also, after school, after the education, they are looking for a job. Now, it has become even an issue that if you are lucky and you get a better job, then you have a better money. Praise God. If you are not lucky, see, but in Christianity, we don't work on luck. We are not lucky in Christ. No. Look at someone, tell the person, you are not lucky in Christ. Say, in Christianity, we don't work on luck. Or we don't work with luck. When I'm lucky and I get a job that they are giving me big salary, then, so, if somebody is born again and the person is finished the same school that you completed, and the person's salary is small, and yours is bigger, then it means that you are on the advantage more than him. So when that happens, then you know God is a biased God. You know God is taking good care of somebody and is leaving you. Oh, shout a big hallelujah. I'm teaching you something practical. So that you think about, okay, that is why you're thinking of maybe how to get this money, pay this one, pay that one, pay this thing. You are thinking of even certain things that you want to buy, that when you calculate the amount of money, it's too limited. Why? It's too limited. So your whole life is dependent on the salary that you receive. But you see, when you get born again, you are beyond that. Are you listening? What I'm saying with you will bless you now and bless you in future. Because we are all young here, so it will bless all of us. So that it's not just on the amount of money that, so that if you are employed and then the money that they are giving you is not much, that means that you are limited in the kind of things you want to do. You are limited in kind of, your income is limited, so that the kind of things that you want to do, the expenditure, the kind of things you want to do, you can't do them because the amount of money that you receive every month, you can't afford that. Now, if that is how you are going to live, then there's going to be an issue in the body of Christ. Praise God. And many looking at life to them. They are born again, all right, because they are ignorant of a lot of things and they are not taught a lot. I always say that, you see, when you enter a program, man, it's not the number of people you see in the program. I've come to realize that I've moved to churches I've gone to many churches for programs, and I'm telling you, there are things you never hear. are things you never hear. Why? Because, you see, many people are born again, but nobody teaches them about Christ. They go to church, all right. Some of them are choir directors. Some have leadership positions and roles in the church, but they don't even know what they are about. Why? Because, you see, men live by what they see. We live by what God has said. The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is spoken from. So, men want to live by what they see. So, even in the body of Christ, because many are not taught, they want to live by what they see. How many suits you have worn to the church, and how praise God. A lot of things are going on. A lot of things. So, many Christians think that some go to the extent that, okay, let us go outside the country, let us travel outside the country, let's go seek for greener pastures. They travel outside. And many go out to mess up. Many go outside the country to seek for greener pastures. And then they forget that they're even Christians. By the time they get in outside the country, they enter into drugs. Some enter into prostitution. Why? They need money. But they are Christians. And some of you may even have friends like that. Who they were audacious with Joshua, and today they are never audacious again. Why? When they went outside the country to look for greener pastures, to look for money, to look for things, they have abandoned their faith. And they are looking for things. So most of them have entered into prostitutions, into thefts, into drugs. Some go to the extent of even marrying people who are older than them and all kinds of things. Why? They want papers. Some want accommodation. If I'm lying, tell me I'm lying. Some want accommodation. See, I'm trying to explain to you certain things before I get into what I want to talk about. Some want accommodation. Some want what? Money. See, the kind of things that people do because they want things, money. You have no idea. You have no idea. And the kind of the amount the Christians who have left their faith or abandoned their faith. And I was even saying, oh, we are not Christians again, we are not Christians again. Some of you have friends who have traveled. When you meet them, they were audacious. When you meet them, they are no longer audacious again. You meet them now, you discover that they are no longer audacious. Why? They went in search of money. And when they went, they need to survive. They need to survive. So they went to the extent of doing anything they want to do. Or that they think that is right to them so that they can do what? They can survive. Why are all these things happening? Most of them are Christians. Praise God. It is because we don't want to teach people what they have in Christ. And because many people have not been taught what they have in Christ. There are provisions in Christ Jesus. Look at someone, tell the person, there are provisions in Christ Jesus. So we have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Now, when the church doesn't know these things, then that is when all these things happen. When people can decide, okay, let me travel outside the country to go and look for money, then they go and they forget even that some of them are pastors' sons, some of them were very serious. They are no longer serious again. Why? They went looking for something. And they need to survive. Swallow them up. Swallow their faith. Praise God. Oh, if I'm blessing you, shout a big hallelujah. But is that God's plan for the church? Is that Christ's plan for his body? What is God's provisions for us? Are we on this earth to struggle and struggle and struggle to one day? Or to struggle to make ends meet? Or to follow friends or do whatever we want to do? Whatever possible it is so that we can make it in life. Is that what God wants for us? Is that what God wills for us? Praise God. So it is very important that we understand what we have in Christ Jesus. We understand who we are in Christ. Then we understand what we have in Christ Jesus. We understand that we have a provision in Christ Jesus. We have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Open to Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. They need to survive. They need to survive has led many people into all kinds of things. There are people who say that there are certain homosexuals who say that if you join them, they'll give you so amount of money. There's a guy in our church that did the same thing. They said if you join them, they'll give him some so amount of money, huge amount of money. And the need for money, not because he wanted to join. You get what I'm saying? So the devil has programmed a lot of things in place. Seeing that many Christians are ignorant of what God has given to them and what they can do in Christ and what they have in Christ, and has swayed many people. So the guy wanted to join until he was caught and cancelled. Why? He needed money. Oh, mercy. He wanted to finish his education. And he met somebody at the hotel, and the person said that, oh, if only he will become a homosexual, he will pay so amount of money to him every month. And the money was speaking. Say money. So it's very important that when we get born again, we understand certain things. Praise God. And one thing is that many churches, or many churches in Christianity, what has happened today is that people just fill auditoriums. Their mothers were born into a church, they were also born into a church, and they go to just fill an auditorium, occupy space, that's all. Nobody teaches you the knowledge of Christ. Sometimes I sit down and begin to think, what is going on? Because people are not taught the knowledge of Christ, they get into error. People are not filled with the knowledge of God's will because they are not taught. They are supposed to gather in a church to be nurtured. Nurtured in what? In the knowledge of Christ. Not just a doctrine of a church. Praise God. To become fully furnished in Christ Jesus. Paul said that he teaches this thing to present people matured in Christ. Fully furnished. Perfect. What was Paul teaching? The knowledge of Christ. Praise God. Go to Colossians and let me explain something before we continue. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9.
Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. I'm reading from the King James Version. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you.
Do not cease to pray for you.
Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
Mm-hmm. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
And spiritual understanding. Now listen. It's possible that we pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in wisdom. I explained that one. I think the mystery of Christ too. And spiritual understanding. Then continue, Obed.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That ye might walk worthy
then
of the Lord.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord.
Unto all pleasing.
Now listen, Obed. It says that ye be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. So, you can be born again. You see, there's a difference between the one who is born again and is a Christian, and the one who is filled with who is a Christian and is filled with the knowledge of God's will. There's a difference between the one who is born again and is in Christ Jesus is a Christian, and the one who is a Christian and is filled with the knowledge of God's will, and the one also who is filled with the knowledge of God's will and applies it. Three people: the one who is born again and is in Christ Jesus, the one who is born again, who is in Christ Jesus, and is filled with the knowledge of God's will. Then the third one is the one who is filled with the knowledge of God's will and applies it. Praise God. So just coming to church and that you are born again and they're teaching you what they believe in and what they don't believe in, it's not Christianity. It's religion. He says that when you are filled with the knowledge of God's will, then he says that he might walk worthy of the Lord. So you can't walk worthy of the Lord even though you are in Christ Jesus. You can't struggle to walk worthy of the Lord. You can't decide that, okay, this time I want to walk worthy of the Lord. He says you can only walk worthy of the Lord when you are filled with the knowledge of God's will, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Look at someone, tell the person that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. To be able to walk the way that Christ walked. To be able to walk the way God desires, or God has designed in Christ, says that you walk. He says you must be filled. So Paul said that I do not cease to pray and to desire that ye be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so that you might do what? Walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing. Then he says, be fruitful unto every good work. Being fruitful. So, a productive Christian is the one who is filled with the knowledge of God's will and puts it to work. You are not fruitful in Christ Jesus. Or he says, being fruitful means being fertile, being productive. To be able to produce good works, the works of God, the works of Christ. To be able to live the kind of life that God has given to us to live. To be able to experience and enjoy what God has designed in Christ Jesus for you. He says that you can only be fruitful in Christ Jesus when you are filled with the knowledge of God's will. So you are not fruitful because of any good message, a good sermon. But you are fruitful because of the knowledge of Christ. Your fruitfulness in Christ Jesus, your productivity, your ability to experience and enjoy what God has designed for you in Christ Jesus is by knowledge. By being filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's why Paul said, I commend you to God. He says, and to the word of his grace. He says, which is able to build you up. I commend you to God. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. He didn't say the word of God. He said the word of his grace. The word of his grace is the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because the knowledge of Christ... Oh, Jesus. Shout a big hallelujah. Christ is the grace of God. The knowledge of Christ is the knowledge of God's grace. So when he says that you are built up by the word of his grace, he's saying that you are built up by the knowledge of Christ, which is the knowledge of God's will. Oh, Jesus. Shout a big hallelujah. This which is able to build you up and then give you an inheritance. It is able to do what? Build you up. It is able to do what? Build you up. So you are matured by knowledge. You are matured by knowledge. Not any knowledge, but the knowledge of God's will. And then you are fruitful by the same knowledge. Because when you are matured, you'll be fruitful. Oh, Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah. So it is not just joining an association. It's not just filling auditoriums. No. It's about what you receive. The reason why the church is not making much impact over it is because we enjoy sitting in auditoriums. And over for the past, I've been thinking about when people go to church, what do they hear? Shout hallelujah. Shout another big hallelujah. You see, so when you are filled with the knowledge of God's will, then you can be fruitful. When you get to understand that Christ is in you, when you begin to understand that Christ is the glory of God in you, when you begin to understand this Christ Jesus has been raised and exalted above all things and all names, and that same Christ is in you, your mentality changes. Your understanding and your perspective of life changes. And so, it also affects your actions. Paul said, when I was a child, I... Shout hallelujah. See, when your perspective about life changes, when you read the Old Testament, the Bible says that there was a famine in the land and Isaac was also traveling. Everybody was traveling out of the land. As Isaac was traveling out of the land, The Lord showed up and said, Isaac, don't go. There was a famine. And everybody was running away. Why? There was a famine. You see, it is not the economy of this world that will make you better. See, these things I'm sharing you are very important. They're very important because it is not the economy of this world that will make you better. It's not the economy of a nation like Ghana that will make you better. It's not a government that will come and make you better. No government will come and make you better. You didn't hear what I said. So it is not a government that will come and make you better. Those are people argue about which party and which party. Why? They are waiting for one party to come and make them better. That's a lie. That's a lie. Any party that comes to better themselves. Look for how to better their own children and their pockets. No president or whoever will come and say, I'm coming to better you. You come. I'll bet. No government will come and better you. You are bettered in Christ Jesus. So sometimes we think, an economy is going to do this. When this party comes, oh Jesus, your life is founded in a party. You are founding your future on a party. The economies of this world, which can fail any time. The economies of this world, which can fail any time. Shout a big hallelujah. The Bible says that there was a famine and Isaac was traveling out. He also people were leaving the country. They said there was famine. Oh God. So he was also traveling. Then the Lord showed up and told him, Isaac, don't go. Stay in this same land. And he stayed there. The Bible says after a period of time, God showed up again. And in 1 year, the whole life of Isaac was turned around. God took Isaac and turned his life around within 1 year. And all the friends who had traveled heard about Isaac. They saw that he had become very great. He has worked great. The Bible says he became great till he became exceedingly great. It is only God who makes a person exceedingly great. Isaac. Why? The man had a relationship with God. Today, we have a bigger relationship. Shout hallelujah. So, it's not about the government. It's not about somebody. It's not about... Instead of sitting down and thinking about this government that will come and this economy that will do this and which economy will do this, you are wasting your time. Wasting your time. Man's life is like a wind. Your life is running on one man's vision. You are in trouble. Praise God. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Deceitful. Don't be deceived. Believe the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is able to build you up. And it is able to give you an inheritance. Praise God. I will open to Ephesians chapter 1. Say, I'm blessed in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm blessed in Christ Jesus. Do you know what the Bible says? It's the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Not the governance of a land. Or the economy of any nation. As you are sitting here right now, you don't know the next 4 years what will happen. Your whole life is running on the economy of Ghana. What if the economy fails within 4 years? I'm not saying to fail. I'm just telling you something. If your life is running on an economy that can fail at any time, then you're in trouble. So what am I doing? I'm tuning your mind to something different. I'm showing that there's an alternative. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. God is able to do. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. No, 3 is good. You see? Alright, read it.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Mm-hmm. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, mm-hmm. according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, mm-hmm. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, mm-hmm. he might gather together in one all things in Christ, mm-hmm. both which are in heaven, mm-hmm. and which are on earth, mm-hmm. even in him,
continue over.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, mm-hmm. being predestinated according to the purpose of him, mm-hmm. who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, mm-hmm. that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Now, wait. We read all of this. Verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, one by one. Now, we have talked about these things, verse 10. We've talked about verse 10 now, even when we open verse 10. Praise God. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. See, say the word of God. No, look here. Say the word of God is God speaking to me. Say that again. Say the word of God is God speaking to me. Say that again. Say the word of God is God speaking to me. When I hear the word of God, I have heard God's voice concerning my life. Praise God. So it says, in whom we have what? It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, which is Christ, all things. Verse 11 says that in whom we have an inheritance. In Christ, we have an inheritance. Say, in Christ, I have an inheritance. Say, in Christ, I have an inheritance. It says, in whom we have an inheritance. He has gathered together all things in one person called Christ. Then it says, in that Christ, we have an inheritance. Go to Colossians, just be there. We'll continue from that place. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 or verse 10. No, but before we read that place, let me tell you this story. There was this man of God, Charles Spurgeon. How many of you have heard about Charles Spurgeon? Okay. So a great man of God. And he had a lady friend who was a widow. So he said that the lady friend who was a widow, she has been visiting his church every Sunday. Like, that's where he goes to church. Every Sunday. Charles Spurgeon's church. So one day the lady fell sick and was about to die. And Charles Spurgeon went there. When he went there and spoke to the woman and prayed with her, and he said that the woman took something like a document and gave it to him. So when the woman gave him the document, the woman couldn't read. So when Spurgeon opened the document, he discovered that the woman went to serve some people. She was like a maid servant in some people's house. And the people he served them were very rich, a man and his wife. So when they were about to die, they willed all that they had, including all the money that they had in their accounts, and gave it to the woman. Praise God. And the lawyer brought the document and gave it to the woman when they died. So when the woman was working as a poor widow that was always visiting, somebody had left some huge amount of money in her account. And all the estate that they had, their houses, buildings, everything, they gave it to the woman because she had served them for a long time. And the document was with the woman. And here was the woman who was dying poor. So when Spurgeon opened the document and read it, then he discovered that, this woman here who is dying poor, or who they all regard as a poor widow, had all these estates and all this money. And she never knew. She never knew. And she was dying. So she had lived her whole life from the time the people she served died. She had lived her whole life poor. Whilst all the money were there and nobody was spending it. That's what ignorance can do to a person. Ignorance is a disease. Ignorance is bigger than a curse. And the woman died, left all the estates, and gave the estates and all the money to an orphanage. She lived her life never enjoying any one of them because she never knew. But all were in a document, and the document had been handed over to her, but she never knew. Praise God. Read 1 Corinthians. It's powerful. When he said that story, I said, no, this is powerful. 1 Corinthians
chapter 2, mm-hmm. verse 9. Mm-hmm. But downwards. As it is written, mm-hmm. I had not seen, mm-hmm. nor ear heard, mm-hmm. neither have entered into the heart of man, mm-hmm. the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Mm-hmm. But God hath revealed them to us by his mm-hmm. Spirit.
So he says that, I has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. What God has prepared for those who love him. Not what God is going to prepare. See, most of the time when we come to church, Christians, everything is about what God is going to do. That's why one of our messages, Mystery of Christ, I said that all has been done in Christ Jesus. So it says that what God has prepared for those who do what? Who love him. Those who love him are those who are born again. If you love God, you believe in his son Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And his love is shed in your heart when you are saved. So those who love him are those who have believed in Christ Jesus. Then it says that those who have believed in Christ Jesus and confessed him as their Lord and Savior, God has prepared something for them that eye has not seen. This is powerful. So when it says eye has not seen nor ear heard, it's saying that the natural man or the physical realm does not know. So those who are not born again, or natural man is somebody who is not born again, the person who is not born again doesn't know what God has prepared for the one who is born again. You see, in Christ Jesus, somebody said it here last week, that see, our life in Christ is spiritual. Look at someone, tell the person, say, our life in Christ is spiritual. Say it again. Say, our life in Christ is spiritual. So you see, listen, when you are born again and your whole life is after the natural order, then you bring yourself into a, even though you are born again, into a realm of limitations. That is when the doctors can meet you. You can go to us and tell you, oh, your tubes are blocked. And then that is all. When they say your tubes are blocked, all that you are thinking about is, and they say, we can't help you. From that time to maybe you die and go to heaven as a Christian, your whole mind will be on, my tubes are blocked. My tubes are blocked. Why? Because your whole your makeup is natural. So when they say that, oh, we can't help you here, naturally speaking, it's impossible. Then for you, it's impossible. But those of us who are in Christ Jesus, God has raised up above the realm of limitation. That is why our life in Christ, Christ is in us, the Holy Ghost is in us, it's spiritual, it's not natural. If all that you are headed towards is natural, 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 one day, with a tsunami, one day, something will just happen, or a report will come to you, that will mess your life and make you miserable the rest of your life. Why? Because when it comes to you, when there's a report like what I said right now, you don't have any way out again. You've built your whole life on the natural. But our life is spiritual. It's not just natural. Don't bring yourself into a life of limitations where anything can just happen to you. You can get to know Or you can get to decide what you want to happen in your life. One man of God said, you create good or you create evil. You decide what you want happening in your life. Why? Because Christ is in you. So he says, I have not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared. Not what God is going to prepare, but what God has prepared for those who love him. But he says, I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the mind of any man the things that God has prepared. So it shows that the things that God has prepared is higher and is unknown to men, but it's known to us who are born again. Why? Because he has given us the Holy Ghost. Oh Jesus, I would rather be interested in what God has prepared for me than what any man can prepare. He says the heart of a man is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The Bible says, you say, God is not a man. So, men repent. God is not a man to repent or to change his mind. But men repent and change their minds. Today they said, come, tomorrow you go, so I've forgotten. You let's do it next week. But God doesn't repent and doesn't change his mind. Praise God. So he says, I have not seen what God has prepared. God has done what? Has prepared. Not God is going to prepare. God has prepared for those who love him. And says that, and he has revealed this unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh. What is knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit in that man. He said, but we have not received the Spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that he has freely given to us. So God has freely given to us things in Christ Jesus. If you are born again, Christ is in you. If Christ is in you, Christ is the package of all the free things that God has given in you. Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a package of what God has prepared for those who love him. And that package, which is Christ, is inside you. Shout amen. See, that we might know. So ignorance is not an excuse. And ignorance is not supposed to be quiet. Because he says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh God. Jesus. He said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Shout a big hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost makes you do what? Know. To know, not to be ignorant, but to know the things that God has freely given to you in Christ Jesus. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Alright, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's continue from that place quickly. It's over time. So say that God has freely given things to me.
In Christ Jesus.
God has prepared something in Christ Jesus for me. And he says that what God has prepared in Christ Jesus for you, no man knows. No eye has seen it. This is unfathomable. It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond human comprehension. That's what he's saying. And what God has prepared for you is beyond human comprehension. But you see, it depends on what your desire is. Okay, continue. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 downwards.
Mm-hmm. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
In whom also we have, we. You are inclusive.
Yeah.
We have obtained an inheritance.
Being predestinated according to the purpose of him
mm-hmm.
who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
In whom ye also trusted.
In whom ye also. Have you opened? Okay, follow. In whom ye also trusted.
After that ye heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation.
After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession.
That's
verse 14.
Okay.
Unto the praise of his glory.
Unto the praise of his glory. Before we continue, he says that, read verse 13 and 14 again. Look at verse 13 and 14 and take notice of it.
Verse 13.
Of verse even 12. He said that when the gospel was preached to us, we believed. And then what happened?
Verse 12 to verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
Who first trusted in Christ.
Uh-huh. In whom ye also trusted.
In whom ye also trusted. You have trusted in Christ.
After that,
if you have trusted in Christ, let me see your hands up. Okay, shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's continue.
In whom ye also trusted.
Mm-hmm.
After that ye heard the word of truth.
After that ye heard the word of truth.
The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed.
In whom also after that ye believed. So when you heard the gospel, ye believed. Then it says, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, you, and now you believed. What has happened?
You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance.
Now, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So, when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Which is the earnest. So, he says that when you believed in the gospel, the Holy Ghost was given to you, Christ. We said, you see, listen, this thing is very important. Listen. See, when the Bible talks about, mentions the word the Holy Ghost, or says the Holy Ghost, and when it says Christ, he's talking about the same thing. We've explained this earlier. But then, you see, when he talks about the Holy Ghost, there is a meaning that he attaches to the Holy Ghost he's saying. And when he mentions Christ, there is another meaning he attaches to the word Christ, even though he's the same person. So I say that your understanding about the Holy Ghost as a person and your understanding of the Holy Ghost as the presence of Christ, the two is very important. I take it again. Your understanding of the Holy Ghost as a person. See, when the Holy Ghost comes inside us, he has his ministry in us. Jesus said, he shall guide you into all truth. Have you seen it in the Bible before? How many of you have seen it in the Bible? He says, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall teach you. He shall show you things to come. His ministry, the Holy Ghost, who is now inside you. You see, a lot of Christians are not even conscious of the truth that the Holy Ghost is in them. When you leave this auditorium, you just go and sleep. You wake up in the morning, you're off. But the Holy Ghost is in you. And has his ministry in you. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit. So what does he do also? He leads you. So when he says that the Holy Ghost as a person is inside you, there is an understanding to that. Which is different from when they say the Holy Ghost is inside you and the Holy Ghost is Christ. The understanding of the Holy Ghost performing his ministry in you as a person. An understanding of the same Holy Ghost in you, who is also the Spirit of Christ. And because of that, who is also Christ. You see, there are two understandings here, but it's the same person. It's like we say that, oh, Obed is a managing director of whatever. Obed is a prime minister. It's the same Obed. But relating to him as a managing director is different from relating to him as a prime minister. But it's the same Obed. Have you caught it? So, the Holy Ghost is inside us, having his ministry inside us. Then that same Holy Ghost is the presence of Christ in you. So when the Holy Ghost is in you, Christ is in you. Now, the reason why Paul brings all those things is because he wants you to know what the Holy Ghost is in to do in you and through you. But then he also wants you to also see the Holy Ghost as Christ. So that you can now be of benefit, or you can now benefit from what Christ has done for you. Praise God. Did you hear that? How many of you didn't hear that? So, the Holy Ghost is inside you as a person, performing his functions, his ministry in you. That same Holy Ghost is also the presence or the Spirit of Christ. And so the presence of Christ. And when the Holy Ghost is in you, we say Christ is in you. So, your understanding of him performing his ministry and your understanding of that same him as Christ is very important. Those two understandings are very important. So that many Christians know him as, oh, the Holy Ghost, he leads us, he guides us into truth, he teaches us, he shows us things to come. But they don't know the Holy Ghost as Christ in them. Because of that, they can't benefit from what is in Christ. Because what is in Christ is with the Holy Ghost in you. So when he said that he has sealed us with the Holy Ghost, then he says, which is the earnest, which is the deposit, the guarantee, the down payment. So you see, the Holy Ghost is like a title deed. Shout a big hallelujah. So, from verse what? Ernest 13, 14. He's telling us that the Holy Ghost, when we say something, when we say a title deed, when you go and buy a property, like a land, or you go and buy a house, there's a document that is given to you as an evidence. When you buy, like when you buy this place, they'll give you they'll give you a document. That document is an evidence that you have legal right to this building. Hallelujah. That document is called a title deed. It gives you like an entitlement to the building. Now, so that the Holy Ghost is like a title deed in you. God is trying to tell you that as long as the Holy Ghost is inside you, every inheritance in Christ is for you. You see, he has given us an inheritance in Christ. Then he has given us a proof, a title deed, a document. As long as you are holding this document, all this land belongs to you. That's what he's saying. And that document is given to us, it's a person called the Holy Ghost. So he says, as long as the Holy Ghost is inside you, all the things that are in Christ Jesus are with the Holy Ghost and can be manifested through you. So whenever you wake up in the morning and begin to speak in tongues, knowing that the Holy Ghost is inside you and has baptized you, and because of that you are speaking in tongues, you also get to know that that same Holy Ghost is a document or a title deed entitling you to what? All the things that belong to Christ Jesus. So it's not just that you are speaking in tongues.
I don't think people are hearing.
Shout a big hallelujah. So when you wake up with the Holy Ghost talks to you, you are going and coming, you say the Holy Ghost said this, the Holy Ghost said that. It is important. But then with that, also know, look at someone, tell the person, also know that that same Holy Ghost that is talking to you is also a title deed, a guarantee, a deposit. God is not doing us abracadabra. Shout a big hallelujah. Because when I wake up in the morning, or when I wake up, when I'm praying and I'm speaking in tongues, when I speak in tongues, what comes into my mind is that as I'm speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost is in me. As I'm speaking in tongues, Christ is in me. The tongues even reminds me that the Holy Ghost is in me. And reminds me that the Holy Ghost is Christ in me. And reminds me that all things are in Christ in me.
Oh, Jesus.
Robert, continue. Quickly.
Amen.
Amen. If you've not been here for the previous weeks, to be like Chinese movie to you.
Which okay. Is the earnest of our inheritance. Mm-hmm. Until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Mm-hmm. Continue. Robert.
Unto the praise of his glory.
15.
Wherefore I also,
that's Paul.
After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus.
After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus.
And love unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
See, Paul says that, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith. Paul, he says, after he heard that the people were born again, that they believe in Christ Jesus, he doesn't cease to pray for you, for them, again. So Paul was always praying for the church. Let's continue, Obed.
Cease not to give thanks for you.
Cease not to give thanks for you.
Uh-huh. Making mention of you in my
prayers. Making mention of you in my prayers.
Mm-hmm. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ,
oh, our Lord Jesus,
the Father of glory,
mm-hmm,
may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and
may
revelation.
Give unto you the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have explained this one. Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord. When we talked about salvation. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He calls him the Father of glory. We are children of glory.
Yeah.
Our Father is the Father of glory. We are sons of glory. The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See. Tell somebody, see. He says that Paul said that he was praying. He's been praying for the church. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto the church the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ. See, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation is a special working of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost inside you has an operation in you to grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can only have the knowledge of Christ by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he says that the Father should give the church, or that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be operational in the body of Christ, will be operational in your life. You say, I want to understand the scriptures. He says that God should give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now the Holy Ghost is inside you. One of his responsibilities is to grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you could have knowledge of Christ inside you. Say, the Holy Ghost is in me. Now the spirit of wisdom and revelation is very important. I want to explain, but I don't know because of the time. Continue, Ben. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Next week I'll explain it.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened,
and revelation,
that ye may know what is the hope of his calling.
He says, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your spirit, your heart, be enlightened. Are you people looking into the Bible? Look into the Bible again. Okay, read that place again.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened,
mm-hmm,
that ye may know what is the hope of his calling.
Now, he says that, Paul says that he wants you to know you. Say me. He says he wants you to know what is the hope of your calling. That is the heart of your understanding, your spirit. The Amplified says that it will be flooded with light. The word enlightened means to be lighted up.
Jesus.
The word enlightened means to be lighted up. Now, when it says lighted up, we don't have to, we would have switched all the lights off. When we switch the whole lights off, you wouldn't see anything here, even though you are in the room.
We were able to fill some chairs. Somebody said, I'll fill some.
But you wouldn't see anything. But once the lights are turned on, the room is lighted up. Now you can see that there's a speaker here. You can see that there are chairs here. Why? Because the room is lighted up. He says, when your spirit is lighted up, when your spirit is lighted up, then you will know So you are born again. So the Holy Ghost is in you. Christ is in you. All things are in you. Paul says he's praying for the church, mentioning you in his prayers. He's mentioning Obed. Shout hallelujah. So that he's saying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. The eyes of your understanding will be lighted up. Your spirit will be lighted up. When your spirit is lighted up to know. And he talks about the spirit of revelation and wisdom, which lights you up. Next week I'll talk about that one. Which lights your spirit up. Then he says, when your spirit is lighted up, or when light comes into the room, then you know. How do you know that chairs are here? When lights come into the room. How do you know what is in you in Christ Jesus? How do you know what God has already prepared for you in Christ Jesus? It says that when your spirit is lighted up. So it says that your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, being lighted up to know. What is the hope of your calling? The word know means that to know. It is enlightened to know. It means that to be aware. To come to a realization. It means that there is an awareness that lights give. When you say you are aware, what does it mean? You have come to realize. You have come to a realization. So there is a realization or an awareness that lights give. When the whole place is dark, you never know where something is. If the place is dark and you're outside and you enter, you don't know where the chairs are. Where the watch is. Right now, if I ask you where the watch is, you didn't know where the watch is. Where the clock is. Now, you see, so that light gives you an awareness. You see, the word know, awareness, realization, it also means to see. So it says, when you are lighted up, you become aware. You come to realize. You come to see. What do you see? What do you realize? It says, the hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? Christ. It's glory. So it says that when you are... Oh, Jesus. Are you following me? So when you go, just take your time and study. He says that, so that when you're lighted up, you become aware of the hope. What is the hope of your calling? What is the hope of your calling? What is the hope of your calling? The hope of your calling is glory. It says Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you come to be aware that Christ is in you. And so the glory of God is in you. And what are you hoping or expecting? Glory. Eyes of your understanding will be lighted up. To know, to come to be aware that your life is a life of glory. You come to be aware, to come to a realization that Christ is in you. Not many Christians have come to a realization that Christ is in them. And not many Christians have come to a realization that because Christ is in them, what is the hope of their calling is glory. Shout hallelujah. But the hope of your calling is glory. Then he says, and what is the exceeding riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints? My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout another big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he talks about to become aware, to come to realize, to come to see. See, the word see he's talking about means that you come to see. See, you come to see. It means that as you walk anywhere you enter seeing what is inside you. I can meet Obed and I'm seeing what is inside me. That is why you can meet demons and then you see what is inside you, not what the demon is doing. You see. You have a challenge in your life. Instead of looking at the challenge, you see what is inside you. You have become to realize that there is Christ inside you. There is glory. There is a challenge here.
I remember years back, I said that faith is seeing, not seeing.
But it says that you become to realize, come to a realization of who is inside you. And the glory that is inside you. And what to expect because of who is inside you. And also come to realize what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Who are the saints? You see, God has called us. The hope of his calling. He has called you. He has called you out. You belong to him. You see, many Christians are selfish. When I say selfish, it means that you are self-centered. You belong to yourself, even though you are born again. See, when you come to be aware that you belong to God, you belong to Christ, then you come to understand that when it says the hope of your calling, it's not about you, even though it's about you. Why? Because it's about who is inside you that you are working. It's not about you and what you can do on your own. That's why it says, therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. So when you're self-centered, you begin to wonder, I'm looking for this thing. You are saying that Christ is saying, no. Look at Christ. That's why I say Christ is your mirror. Look at Christ. Look at what is inside him. Where is he now? He's inside you. That realization, that awareness. You see, imagine you want Bill Gates to do something for you. You understand? You want Bill Gates to do something for you. Maybe you are telling people, oh, talk to Bill Gates for me. Then you are lighted up to come to realize that Bill Gates is inside you. I said the other day that the spirit of a person is not the body. The spirit of a person is the person. When the spirit of Bill Gates comes into you, Bill Gates is in you. If you are going to Bill Gates to help you and you discover that you read the book and find out that Bill Gates is already inside me. You are lighted up. You have come to realize that the Bill Gates you are going to look for is already inside you. What do you do with him inside you? That is why it says that you come to realize, you come to see that he's inside you. Then you come to realize that all of Bill Gates' estates is inside Bill Gates in you.
Shout hallelujah. Next week I'll continue from this place. If you are blessed, shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week I'll continue. I want to show you how to assess if the inheritance is inside you and you need something. The provision is inside you. What do you do? Shout hallelujah. Shall we please be upstanding? I want you to just thank God. Bless his name. Bless his name for the awesome word that you have received tonight. Bless his name. On the Lahasha. Bless his name. Posh and the Nimakasha. Bless his name. Bless his name. Shividi Makusha Karando Sasha.
The word is a seed. When planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. to receive.